Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus, dear friends. Life is filled with high points and low points, good days and bad, light and darkness. You know, for the most part, these ups and downs are natural, normal, and even expected. And even though the good times and bad times of life may seem to come at random without any real rhyme or reason, as God's people, we know that the Lord uses each one as a preparation for the other. During dark days, we long for light, and when it comes, we appreciate it all the more. But it usually doesn't take long for the darkness to return in some form. Yet, having been in the light, we are strengthened and encouraged to face this new struggle, whatever it may be. The highs are followed by lows, and the lows by highs, the light by darkness, and the darkness by light. The same was true for Jesus during his days here on earth. His humble birth was followed by the remarkable visit and worship of the wise men, which in turn was followed by the flight to Egypt in order to escape the murderous plot of King Herod. The Father's voice and the Spirit's flight at Jesus' baptism was followed by 40 days of loneliness and temptation in the wilderness. In the church year, we mark these ups and downs as we go from the celebration of Jesus' transfiguration today to the observance of Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent just a few days later. And of course, there is no greater example of this up and down, high and low, light and dark than Holy Week. On Palm Sunday, Jesus enters the city to the shouts of praise offered by the crowds. But come Friday, they were shouting for his death. Then 3 days later, the shouts of "He is risen" announced Jesus' ultimate victory, and ours too. Whatever we may be facing in life right now, the Lord always gives us enough light to get us through the darkness, and he gives us the promise of even more light to follow the darkness. This is really the purpose of the glorious vision of Jesus at his transfiguration. It prepares us for his suffering and death, and it sustains us during our lives on earth. The day that Peter, James, and John followed Jesus up that mountain was certainly a high point in their lives. There he was transfigured before them. For a moment, his true glory as the Son of God shone through in all its brilliance. Mark says his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. This was like nothing they had ever seen before. It confirmed the confession about Jesus that they had made just a few days earlier. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the Lord of glory, powerful, majestic, and holy, shining like the sun. And then, as if it couldn't get any better, Moses and Elijah show up, heroes of the Old Testament, but even more than that, when you've got Moses, you have the law of God. When you've got Elijah, you have the prophets. And when you've got both, you have the entire Old Testament testifying to who Jesus is and what he has come to do. Can it get any more wonderful than that? This glorious vision of Jesus shining like the sun, along with these Old Testament heroes of faith. And you are there on that mountain. It's no wonder Peter wanted to freeze things just as they were and put everything else on hold. He didn't want anything to change. He didn't want anything to interfere with this glorious vision. He was so overwhelmed by all of it that he didn't even really know what to say. But of course, he had to say something. "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Let's stay here forever, just like this, just the 6 of us." And can you really blame him? I mean, how wonderful it must have been on that mountain. This is religion, just how we want it. Glory, power, prestige. Peter wanted it all right then and there. Isn't this what we want too? A God who's going to give us everything exactly the way we want it and when we want it? Lord, I've had enough broken hearts, enough pain, enough failure, enough disappointment, enough loneliness, enough death. You know, maybe we think to ourselves, God, what are you waiting for? I'm ready for the glory. I've followed you my whole life. Isn't it about time for the payoff? Shouldn't your people have at least a little more power, a little more wealth, a little more prestige than those around them? Why don't you make my life a little more impressive to show others that it pays to follow you? Like Peter, we easily confuse the heavenly glory that Christ wants us to have with the earthly glory that we want to have. But this desire for glory right here and right now fails to take into account one thing, our sin. Peter didn't understand that Jesus had to leave that mountain. Peter had forgotten that he and the other disciples had absolutely no business being there in the first place. And why? Well, remember what Adam and Eve did when the Lord came to find them after they had fallen into sin? They hid. They couldn't bear to face the holy God against whom they had rebelled. Or do you remember what happened when God spoke to the people of Israel at Mount Sinai? They begged Moses to ask him to stop. You speak to us, Moses, but not God. We can't bear to hear his voice. See, that's how sinful human beings react to the glorious majesty of the holy God. Even though Peter wanted to be there, Mark tells us that he and the other disciples were frightened. They were terrified by this display of God's glory. And we would be too. And why? Well, because our sins have separated us from God. We know our failures to keep God's law. We know how often we have done our own things instead of what God wants us to do. We know the wrongs that we've done to others, the pain that we've caused for those who are closest to us. We know the greed and the lust that we've kept buried in our hearts. Is there anything more frightening than the thought of standing before the holy, all-knowing, and all-powerful God while still covered in our sins? We know what God should do. We know what our sins deserve. On our own, we also have no business being in the glorious presence of the holy God. And that's exactly why Jesus had to leave that mountain. His work for us was not yet complete. He left that mountain because of his great love for us. He wanted to remove the sins that separate us from our God. He wanted to remove the fear that fills the heart of every sinner by taking the punishment that we deserve on himself. He loved us enough to walk down the Mount of Glory and then willingly climb the hill of shame that we call Calvary. In just a few days, we will begin our journey with Jesus through his passion during the season of Lent. In our midweek services especially, we will set aside some time to consider all that Jesus took on himself for us and for our salvation. We will see how Jesus, God's beloved Son, the one with whom the Father was well pleased, gave his holy and perfect life at the cross in our place. He did it all so that our sins would be paid for. He did it all so that now we can look forward to sharing in his glory. This is what sustains us during our lives here on earth. The disciples were not immediately destroyed by the glory of God on that mountain because of Jesus who stood with them. He is the one who would bring atonement for all of their sins. He is God with us, not to judge, not to condemn, not to destroy, but to save. This is our comfort in life and our sure hope in death. We live in a world still wrecked by sin. We still have a sinful nature that constantly wars against the new person we are in Christ. But Jesus continues to stand with us each and every day. He comes to us in His Word to comfort and assure us. He comes in holy baptism to wash away our sins and mark us as His dear children. He comes through the bread and wine of Holy Communion to give Himself to us forever. There's nothing to fear, because just as Jesus stood with His disciples on the mountain, He stands with us to save and deliver us from our sins. The disciples would soon face a time of incredible testing. They would see their Savior handed over to His enemies and treated like a common criminal. They would see Him suffer and die in the most shameful way imaginable. But this vision of glory would help sustain them through this trial and keep them from despairing altogether. You know, later on in his second epistle, the Apostle Peter shared the tremendous impact that this event had on him and his fellow disciples. He said, "We did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain." So even as they watched Jesus travel into the depths of His humiliation, even as they worked and witnessed and suffered themselves, as they carried out the great commission that Christ had given to them, they could remember. They could remember what they saw on the mountain and find light and hope for the future. We know what we have seen as well. Thanks to the Spirit's work through the Word, we too have witnessed Jesus' glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. And even more than that, we have seen His glory as our risen and ascended Lord. The Transfiguration was just a glimpse of the true glory that is His forever and ever. This glory gives us light and hope during difficult days, since we know what awaits us for all eternity. The trials and tribulations of this life seem light and momentary. The challenges we face, the work that we are called to do, the ministry plans and projects before us no longer seem so difficult. We can handle the ups and downs because we know that one day we will share in the glory of our Savior. The Apostle John points us forward to that day in his first letter. He writes, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." What difficulties and hardships are you facing right now? Is your body riddled with pain or disease? Do you wonder why the good Lord has kept you alive this long, and what purpose He has in mind for you? Does the fear of failure keep you from boldly witnessing to your neighbors and friends? Do you face alienation and rejection for living your faith? Will fear or uncertainty keep us as a congregation from moving forward with big ministry plans? The Apostle Paul says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." In other words, whatever fears or challenges or uncertainties the present may hold, they simply cannot compare with the future that our Savior has already won for us. The transfiguration of our Lord was not just a nice display of His glory. No, it gives us a glimpse of our future. It prepares us for the depths of Jesus' suffering and death by reminding us of how it all ended for Him. It sustains us through the difficult days of our lives by showing us how it will all end for us. Because of our Savior's love for us, we live our lives with the sure hope of one day sharing in His everlasting glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.